We're so glad you joined us today. There is so much that God wants to do in and through you, and we want to hear about it. Please take a moment to share your story with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.
So there we were, coming out of a series. Y'all know I am notorious, historically, I was notorious for going into one-week series, which isn't really a series, it's just a message. Then we went into a series last year, and I called it the never-ending series because the Lord just kept adding weeks to it, and it was great. So then this past season that we were in, we did a series that started with vision. Every time you've ever heard about vision, it's been about the church. It's never been about the individual. But I believe that that's true, that the church as itself has to have a vision, but I also believe that individuals have to have a vision. So we went through, I'm not going to teach and preach that. We went through a whole series about vision and habits, and then how that faith has to be unleashed. So there was this whole series that dealt with fights, because we believe that Christianity, sometimes that our faith is a fight. We know that the longest fight in history was 110 rounds in boxing, and the shortest fight ever recorded was 6 seconds in the UFC. Again, I would be mad if I paid for a six-second fight because I eat nachos. I can't eat nachos in 6 seconds. I'm just saying. So, but in our faith walk, what we look for is we look for every fight to be 6 seconds. We want God just to show in, show up, and show off, right? And instead, sometimes what we understand is that breakthrough is a process, that it requires work, it requires space, it requires time, but most of all, it requires faithfulness. So we talked about that, and we went through all this stuff. And so we came to the end of that series, and I looked at my wife, and I said, you know what? I said, I'm not doing any more series for a little while. I am doing like one hitters, you know what I mean? Because I got a lot I want to talk about, and I'm just going to hit them 1 week at a time. Kevin, I was excited about it. So all week, man, I've been preparing. And I got into Joseph, man. I dig Joseph because Joseph's life looks nothing like mine in some ways. Because are there any favorite children in here? Like, you're your parents' favorite. Yeah. No, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up because I want to make a mental note. Because I don't like any of you, okay? Because I grew up in a family of four. I wasn't the most athletic. I certainly was not the most intelligent. I was not the most talented. I was just the youngest. That was like if you had something going for you, it was just I was the youngest. I was the last opportunity they had for a kid in the house. You know what I mean? So when I started reading Joseph, I was like, man, you know what? I really, there's some things that I associate with Joseph, but there are some things that I really don't associate with Joseph. So I was going to come in and do this one-hit wonder kind of thing where you come in because what I wanted to talk about was Joseph's ditch. Because I'm like, man, sometimes I just feel like people are throwing me in the ditch and it's not. And I had this whole message that I was going to preach about. But then I got into the story. I got into the rhythm of the conversation that God's trying to have about Joseph. And I was like, man, but I can't teach about the ditch if I don't talk about the dream. But I can't talk about the dream and I can't talk about the ditch if I don't talk about the detention. Oh, yeah, it's good. I'm about to take it to the fourth step because you're getting ready to get a four-week series. So you got to go, yeah, you got to go from your dream to your ditch to your detention to get to your destiny. Does this make any sense to you? So here's the thing. But if you only preach the destiny, you forget about the ditch. So when you get in the ditch, you get in a problem. Because here's what I understand is you've got to go from potential to your promise. Because here's what I found. I've been watching way more basketball than any human being should. And this is not a conversation. Carolina fans just went. That, you know what? Here's the thing, though. You know what I love? Here's what I love seeing. I love seeing this. At the end of a game, here's what happens. Coach is in there, right? And they do the interview. And they're like, you know what, Kevin's on our team. Kevin gave an inspirational speech at halftime, and it was just the motivation that our team needed to pull this victory out. And here's what I want to know. Does that mean that the other team didn't have a motivational speech? Because if speeches are all that means the difference in winning and losing, then really we don't need practice. We need speeches. Both teams have all the potential to win. Well, but you got to understand, some teams are more talented. Let me tell you something. Talented teams don't always win. The most talented people in life don't always reach their promise, because some promises get hung up in the ditch. Some of them get hung up in the detention. Some of them get hung up in the dream. So they never reach their destiny. And here's my fear. Here's my fear for us as a church. Here's my fear for you as an individual. Is that you'll have all the dream that God ever wants to lay in your heart, but you'll never reach your destiny. Here's what I don't want to do. I don't want to reach the end of my life and look back on my potential. I can handle dying old. I mean, like, that's my preferred method of leaving this. I'm just letting you know. Like, I can. But you know what? I would rather die younger and reach my potential and fulfill my purpose than to die old with all this potential. Does this make any sense to you? So when I started reading Joseph, man, something inside of me began to stir. And it wasn't the double espresso that some of you all saw me walking around here this morning. It really is God. I'm just telling you. It really is. Now, I'm just saying Starbucks. Ministry is based on two things. God and coffee. There's no scripture to back that up. Anyway. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Genesis 37. I'm going to be honest with you. Today is not going to be as much about me expounding on things as it is me just giving commentary on what God said. Because God put enough in this that when you start to break it down, it really doesn't need a lot more of my input. Does this make any sense? So I'm going to start in Genesis chapter 37. I'm going to begin in verse 1. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And this is the history of Jacob. Okay. Don't care. Now we're going to get to the part I care about. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding a flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report to his father. Now, I want you to understand something. This is going to trigger something often, people. You've got to understand that oftentimes your integrity will trigger people's reaction towards you. Does that mean you want to know a lot of times why people don't like you and they don't like the dreams and they don't like the purpose and they don't like all this stuff going on in your life? I'm going to tell you, because people of integrity cause people with a lack of integrity not to like you. If you're looking for a vote of confidence, you need to do something else other than become a Christ follower. If you want likes on Facebook, if you want like on Instagram, if you want to be a person that has tremendous support of the world around you, I'm going to tell you this right now. It's like the most honest answer I can give you from the pulpit. Abandon your faith in Christ. Because here's the thing. If the world did, you got to remember this. People that were shouting for support of Jesus on the triumphal entry were the same people who were shouting for his crucifixion like a couple of days later. Does this make sense? So here's the thing. Support comes and goes. It mostly goes. Because people never want to look into what Christ has to say that comes from humanity and hear it. Have you ever been at a family function and walked into the kitchen and they're talking about the neighbor? And you walked in and you'd be like, hey, doesn't she go to church? Isn't she a brother or sister in Christ? Yes, she is. Well, should we really talk about her or should we pray for her? Your popularity just went to nothing. Your stuffing just got worse. Your carrots are awful. That cake you made became dry. I'm telling you, the support that you will have for integrity will bring you to zero. Verse 3, now Israel loved Joseph more than his other children, comma. I think God loves me more than anybody else. That's the quietest this church has ever been. I think that you should say that too. God said, I'm no respecter of persons. You ever have your parents look at you and go, I love all my kids equally. I was counseling with somebody at the house last night. We were talking about some bad biblical upbringing that maybe they had, and they were talking about how they thought that there were degrees of spirituality, and that maybe even in their church doctrine that they had been taught that if you have certain behavior types or that you have had certain biblical or spiritual experiences that it made you more popular with God than other people. And here's my thing. When my son was born, I loved him when he didn't do anything. Newborns just exist and fill diapers. That's all they do. But there's something about them. And then you know what? Then he left that stage and he went to the toddler stage, where he went from doing nothing to doing everything, but everything he was doing was pretty much wrong. He didn't walk well. He just kind of fell forward. He couldn't talk, but he could open cabinets. But he wasn't interested in opening the cabinets like where the formula was or where his cereal was. He wanted to open the one where like the spick and span was. And then he left that, and he became, you know, a child. He became just a kid, and kids really are consumers. They're not contributors. And then he became a teenager, where he thought he knew everything but was dumb as a brick. And still didn't really contribute anything. Maybe a grass cutting here or there. Can I get a witness? Parents. And then as he entered adulthood, like real adulthood, he began to become a contributor. And as I get older, he will become the caretaker. Now you understand the walk of faith. You start out, all you do is consume and make a mess. Then you kind of fall forward, best you can do. Then you start getting into stuff, but really you're getting into all the, probably if your faith walk was like mine, all the stuff that you probably should have stayed out of. And then you get to the point where you're still just consuming, but you kind of know enough to be dangerous. And then you get to that stage where you think you know more than you do. Did I just say that from the pulpit? Probably. Then you get to the place where you're mature enough. Do you remember when you moved out and you got married and you figured out that some of the stuff your parents was telling you was probably right? And then you started having kids and you figured out that about 80% of it was right? And then you started to make that migration to where you became more of the parent than you did the child. Some of you are nowhere near that point, but... And then you became more of a caretaker, and you begin to minister. It's just tracking. Joseph's at the beginning of his journey. He said, you know what? Now, Israel loved Joseph more than others' children because he was the son of his old age. He said, man, you were the son of promise. Here's what I believe. I believe that God loves all of us equally, so we're all God's favorite. So if you can go into your faith with the idea that you're God's favorite, and there's nothing that God won't do for you. I'm the parent of one child. But if I had multiple children, I'd love them the same. My wife said, man, our son, I'm just telling you, he's an adult now. But coming up, he was easy to raise. We really never went through crazy adulthood. We really never went through the terrible twos. The parents of multiple children think I missed out. I didn't. Didn't miss anything. Had I had a second child, do you know one of the main reasons we didn't have a child? One, we always thought we would adopt, but the second reason is I knew that I hit the God lottery when he put my first one together, and from there, I was going to go downhill. Can I get a witness from anybody? Now you know you're not your parents' favorite. So my point is this, that if we approach our faith like we're God's favorite, we do approach it like Joseph did. And then we begin to understand the jealousy that exists in the world around us. Because we have something that everybody else wants. The peace that you have, the world wants to steal. Anyway. So he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Here's the thing. If God has ever given you a dream, I just want you to raise your hand up. Like if you have a dream of who you can be, things you can accomplish, places that you think the Lord wants you to go, will you just stick your hand up and hold it there for just a second? Now, here's what I want you to do. If you have your hand up, I want you to look at your neighbor and I just want you to look at him and say, I have a dream. Look at your other neighbor and say, I have a crazy dream. Look at that first neighbor again. Now keep your hand up and say, I have a dream that scares me. Now put your hand down. Now here's the problem. Not only does your dream scare you, your dream scares other people. Because here's what happens. The first thing that happened, if you notice, Joseph's integrity caused people not to like him. You would think that integrity would cause people to like you, but in reality, integrity oftentimes is a repellent, not an attractant. The second thing is this. When they figured out that Joseph's dad liked him more than he did the other brothers, it began to embed their hatred towards Joseph. You need to understand this. Your enemies are not pushing you further away from God. They are pushing you closer to God. I'm going to say this again because some of you all are praying from deliverance for what you should be running towards. Your enemy is not your enemy. Your enemy can be your advocate. Does this make any sense to anybody? If you are going through something right now that is challenging your dreams, I want whether you're listening on podcast, you're listening in house, you're listening to our folks online, man, we thank God for all of you, but I want you to hear me and hear me very clearly. Your enemy oftentimes is your promoter. If there was no David and no Goliath attacking David, David would never become king. Had David have run away from his enemy, he would have never got the blessing and the kingship from Saul. Had Daniel feared the lion's den more than he feared God, he would have never been promoted inside the kingdom. Joseph is at a crossroad with the enemy that are supposed to be the people that love him. Have you ever noticed that most of your attacks come from the people that should be closest to you? Here's the problem, that most of the time, that dream that you raised your hand for, what happens most of the time is it's not the enemy that kills our dreams, it's the other voices that we listen to more than we listen to God. I believe this. I believe that the voice of your enemy oftentimes is the thing that aborts your dreams. Because here's the thing, they kill it so slowly that you don't even pay attention to it. Because here's the thing, God can move in milliseconds, but let's be honest, most of the time God moves in days, not minutes. God moves in months, not milliseconds. Can God move in milliseconds? Absolutely. But I'm just telling you, most of the time, the things that God's really trying to work out in your life, because you remember the habits thing. I go to the gym one time. I feel like when I come out, I feel yoked up. Like if I was as big as I felt, I would look good. But here's what I figured. Here's what I figured out. That going to the gym on the days that I feel like it doesn't really change me that much. It's going to the gym on the days when I don't feel like it that changes me. It's not the days when I feel like praying that are going to shape my destiny. It's praying on the days when I don't feel like it. It's not staying in the Word and being committed to who God's called me to be as a pastor and as a husband, as a dad, as an organizational leader, as all those things. It's not the days when I get up and I feel like doing it. It's doing it on the days when I don't feel like doing it. It's not the days when everything that are going right, that shape the direction of this church. It's the days when we as leaders lead it on the days when everything's going wrong. Does this make any sense? Because if you've got a dream about what your life is supposed to look like and the things you are going to do, here's the thing. You have to listen to the dream more than you listen to the voice of your haters. But you have to understand that your haters play such a life, such a catalyst in you reaching your dream, that oftentimes what we want God to deliver us for is the thing we should be thankful for. I thank God for some of the worst times in my life because they've made me the best thing that I became. Everybody wants to see a miracle, but nobody wants to need one. How else do you see God but out of desperation sometimes? Now really think about it. Could it be that the dream God placed in your heart is only brought to value when it's put under the pressure of circumstance? Sometimes I need haters. Because haters to me are road signs. If I start doing, can I be honest with you? When we did our 80s Christmas and we started playing a bunch of secular songs, man, it wasn't the sinner calling me up going, you can't play Guns N' Roses on Sunday morning in church. It was church folks. Not ours. Do you know what I had to say? I kid you not, this is what I said. This was my response. I said, man, hey, so do you go here? Nope. Are you lost? Like you don't know Jesus. Nope. It don't really got nothing to do with you. Because we didn't do that service for saved church folks. We did that service for unsaved sinners that they don't know Amazing Grace, but they know Welcome to the Jungle. You can't let your, but can I be honest with you? When those voices of criticism came up, I literally would hang up the phone and rather than getting all in a tizzy and worry about what was going to go on social media, I looked at my wife and I'd give her a high five. I'd be like, we done stirred the pot. We done stirred it. I don't know what, you know, and I forget, what, we have 15 or 20 people come to know Christ that weekend. And I'm like, you know what? Here's the thing. I don't care. I didn't come to impress you. I came to impress Him. I didn't come to see what your dream and be so that I can live my life based on your dream for my life. I came to live my life based on His dream for my life. And you know what? If that makes you uncomfortable, somebody's not going to be happy, and it might as well not be God. Yeah, but you don't understand, Pastor. My faith walk doesn't look like everybody else's. It's not supposed to. It's your walk. You have to have a dream. And if your dream is different than everybody else's dream, there's probably a good reason for it, because God doesn't make cookie cutters. He makes individuals. He created the entire... this is from my son. I did not write this. My son looked at me and said, Dad, did you realize this? Did you realize that it took God 6 days to make the universe, but it takes Him 9 months to make a kid? Think about how much more potential He put in a human than He ever did in the universe. I mean, like, if I don't preach anything else, just write that down. And as the Old Testament psalm said, Selah, stop and just think on that a little bit. Because when he said, I was washing dishes in the kitchen. See how spiritual we are at my house? I was washing dirty dishes in my kitchen, and I was getting ready to go pray for Charlotte. And he looked at me and said, Dad, 6 days, the whole universe. 9 months to make. I never even did the math. I don't know what it looks like. Think about the difference in the universe as opposed to you. Now, you want to know why dreams are so important? Because you can be what God promised you. You could be. And it's all about potential. But most of us get lost in the process. Watch this. Okay, verse 5. Now, Joseph had a dream, comma, pause. It could be the end of a sentence. That's a complete sentence, I think. I mean, I didn't do particularly well in high school English, but it wasn't a requirement in theology in seminary. So I'm going to say that Joseph had a dream could be a complete sentence because there's a comma there. Comma means that it could be, but it's not quite a complete thought. Joseph had a dream. You give me a God dream, I'm celebrating. Joseph had a dream and he told it to his brothers. And they hated him even more. Yay, God. Man, I appreciate what you're doing for me. That's like me saying Jonathan came to help me fix my car. And it got worse. I was sick and started taking the medicine and got sicker. Y'all came up. I came up for prayer and y'all prayed for me and it got worse. See, y'all quit amening right there. It's like, boom. Prayer folk just got empty. So he said to them, please hear this dream I have. And they were building, and they were binding sheaves in the field. And behold, a sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaf stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And the brother said to him, so you shall you indeed reign over us? You're the youngest. Shall you have dominion over us? And they hated him even more for his dreams and his words. Now, I'm going to caution you about something. When you have a dream, be careful who you share your dreams with. You share the right dream in the wrong season, it'll bite you in the rear end every time. When I first got into ministry, I went to this lady. I knew that the Lord was speaking to me about her life. And I went to her and I shared with her what the Lord had laid on my heart. And the situation absolutely blew up in my face. And I went to this guy that I kind of held my ministry to, and I said, brother, what happened, man? The Lord gave me a word. And he said, yeah, man, that's smart. But did he tell you to tell her? Well, no, but why would he have told me if he didn't want me to do something with it? He said, well, he didn't tell you he didn't want you to do something with it. He just didn't tell you to do something with it now. Just because I gave you a dollar don't mean you got to spend it. Could it be that he gave you that so you knew how to minister to her, and then on the back end, when the time was right, when she matured, when you matured, and when relationship matured, then you could share it and she would understand what God's doing. He gave you the word, but if he didn't tell you what to do with it, sit on it. See, what some of us do is we get a word from the Lord and imagine an egg, and what we want to do is crack it open and see if the chicken's okay. And in doing so, all you do is abort your dream. You begin to share your dreams with the wrong people. You won't breed unity. You won't breed a summation of that dream. You won't come to where the dream becomes reality. What you'll do is you begin to abort your own dream. Because the minute you allow other people to speak to your dream, now look, when Joseph read this, he was thinking, man, look how good God is. And can I be honest with you, and you're going to see this in the story, there's a little bit of this where Joseph's also doing this. Look how good I am. Because not only did his brothers not have the maturity to see his dream, Joseph didn't have the maturity to see his dream. God gave it to him so he could marinate on it, not so that he could try to produce it right then. Because a lot of dreams that you have aren't dreams for right now, they're dreams for the future. Grace is getting ready to go to Africa for her first trip. Now, I promise you this, we've got a couple that goes to Haiti all the time, right? Or with some regularity. Their vision of their mission trip versus her mission vision of her missions trip are going to look totally different. Your second trip to Africa will look a whole lot different than your first trip to Africa. That's not because God hasn't birthed a dream in you to go to Africa. It's just that dream with experience brings maturity. The Lord may give you a dream, but it may take a season for you and the people around you to mature into what God's birthing in you. And if you'll just sit on your dream and work towards it and scope. It's like people wanting to be married. You ever seen people pray to get married? I have counsel with people. They come in and, Adam, I don't want to be alone. Pastor, will you minister to me? Will you pray that God sent? And then 6 months later, they get married. And then they come to me with marriage problems. And they're like, why did God do this to me? I'm like, you've been praying for it. But if you've been preparing for it, you can pray for a husband or a wife, but are you preparing to be a husband or a wife? I just want a baby. I know people just want a baby. Just want a baby. Well, how many books are you reading on how to parent, like biblical parenting? Because you're about to raise your kid in hell. Was that too plain? If it is, just pick up the paper. We are moving so rapidly towards the end of time, it's not funny. And this is a wicked, sinful generation. This church is here to stand up against that and be like, look, man, we're here to give you hope and a future. We're going to talk about what we're for. We don't necessarily have to stand and talk about what we're against. We're going to talk about what we're for. But your kids are growing up in a never-ending social media cycle where if they're belittled 24/7. That's why you see the suicide rate at what you do among teenagers. It never ends. In my day, we got bullied. We got to go home and watch Cosby Show. There were sitcoms where the life was solved in 30 minutes. Now it's reality television. And I'm not like the old dude standing up talking about the glory days. Times are just different. We were talking in our leaders meeting about the internet. One of my guys said, dude, when I grew up, there wasn't even dial-up. Watch this. And so they hated him even more for his dreams. You need to write this down if you're a note taker. People aren't afraid of your dream. They're afraid of your promotion and what your promotion will do to their power and their position. I'm going to give that to you again. People aren't afraid of your dream. Can I be honest with you? Most people don't care about your dream. Most people you talk to about your dream aren't going to care about your dream. What they're worried about is what does your dream do to their power and their position. Here's the thing. The brothers weren't worried that Joseph was going to get promoted. What they didn't want to do is they didn't want to bow down and they didn't want to follow somebody who had always been subservient to them. The people trying to talk you out of your dream and what you were called to be, they're not worried about that. They're worried about what your potential will do to their power and their position. Verse 9, then he dreams still another dream. Man, thank God for all these dreams. Man, Joseph is killing it in the dreams. Had another dream. Yay, God. Not necessarily. And he told it to his brother. He said, look, I've dreamed another dream. And this time the sun and the moon, the stars, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. So he held it. Now, I'm just imagining his brothers are probably not celebrating this dream. So he goes and he tells it to his dad because you know what? Your parents will always support you, right? So he took it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream you have? Shall your mother and I and your brothers come and bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Here's the thing. Even the people who love you may not need to hear your dream. Even the people who love you may not need to hear your dreams. Dreams don't die in the court of public opinion. They die when you begin to listen to the court of public opinion. I'm going to tell you, I preach good and I preach the word whether you amen it or not. Because your response will never dictate my message. Y'all got dead quiet. You mean we don't matter? Not that you don't matter to me. You don't matter to the message. You will always have my heart. I shared with my leaders before we came in here. I said, man, there's no church I'd rather pastor anywhere. Like this just isn't a place that I'm here because we started it. I'm here because I love the people that are here. Because if y'all were a bunch of, I'm trying to think of a word that I can say on Instagram and all that. If you were not cool people, I would not be here. But here's the thing. You matter to my heart, never to my message. My message has to come from the Lord and I'm just a conduit. My dreams are just conduits that the Lord gave me. But now I have to mature to the place where I can present them in a way that is palatable. Palatable don't always mean yummy. Green beans to me are palatable. I can get them in my mouth and swallow them. They're not necessarily good. I like Brussels sprouts. Thank you. I was looking for the one. I like asparagus. I don't like it out of a can. I want to tell you, yeah, I give you one. I don't know what you're talking about. When we listen to our critics more than we listen to our Creator, it will abort your dream. A few weeks ago, we talked about vision. I want you to understand something. Your dream is your vision. What do you want to do that seems so big that you may not be able to make it? You know, the crazy thing about faith is I'm all the time, Rick's our financial guy here. I will sit and talk to him and I'll dream dreams that are so far beyond our finances and so far beyond our attendance and so far beyond our means. When Liz and I sit down and talk and we start planning stuff, we're planning like we've got 10,000 people here, not like we've got 110. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, our dreams are big and our dreams are, and we're taking on more missionaries than some people got shirts in their closet and people are looking at me. I've got other pastors who've talked to me and said, man, how many can you take on? I don't know. We'll keep swinging at it. Because I got a dream. I got a dream that this church is going to change the world. Why not? God doesn't love anybody else more than he loves me. Why wouldn't he want to birth that through me? Let's swing at it. We may hit it. I used to tell my son, and he totally took this way beyond anything I ever meant for him to, but he would. I told him, I said, if you're going to ask somebody out way out of your league. You know why? She may actually say yes. And if she says no, you can always downgrade. Upgrading's frowned upon spiritually. Does this make sense to you? What if you just said, God, I'm gonna dream so big that if I miss it, I still land in an amazing life. Yeah, but what if it's too late? Well, if you can fog a mirror, it's not too late. Dream big. I mean, look, Abraham and Sarah had a kid way past when it was supposed to. Why? Because they had the faith to dream big. Then when God gave them a vision, remember this, Sarah laughed to herself. Don't let the laughter of others make you feel like a failure. You have to listen to your creator more than you listen to your critic. People's approval doesn't dictate your dreams. But I also want you to understand this, is that situations don't dictate your destiny. I have people all the time come to me and they're like, man, here's the thing. I had this vision with God. I had this vision of being debt free. But then the minute I started believing for it, something broke. Dreams are not dictated by people or situations. They're also not held by the confines of time. You're going to there's a reason that we did a series that has to be four parts. When I texted my wife this morning, I said, I may need you to cover for me because I'm not going to be out of my office till now because this just turned into a series. And she said, wow, it's got to be good. And I sent her the title, Dreams to Ditches to Detention to Destiny. Because here's the what today. Here's the thing. I want you to understand that you're going to have dreams and people are going to talk you out of them and people are going to try to set your stage for your life. It'll come from your bosses. It'll come from your family. It'll come from people that you think should love you and support you. And when they don't, it's going to cause you to ask the question, why don't they? Because if they didn't create your dream, they can't facilitate your dream. We've been working on an office here at the church. This whole piece right here is getting ripped out so we can expand our stage. I'm going out there anyway because this really isn't an office. It really was a closet that I kind of just shoved a bunch of stuff into. And here's what I understand. But it's taken us longer with weather and with different hang-ups. It's taken us longer, but it's still there. And when I walk into it, I can see it. Now I take other people in there and they're like, dude, you just got some wood like studding and this isn't an office. It's a shed. But in my mind, I can see it. I can see the flow that I want to happen. I can see, does this make sense to you? You don't need anybody else to justify your dream. But here's the thing. Liz is a great worship leader, but I'm not going to talk to her about what the studying situation should be like in that shed. It's a horrible idea. Matt is a great contractor, but I'm not going to talk to him about what key we should key. Victory is yours in. Doesn't care, doesn't know. Let's be honest. If I ask Matt for a key, he's going to reach into his pocket. But if I ask Liz for a key, she's going to want to know, will you sing a little bit and I'll tell you where it's at. Does this make sense? You never ask somebody who doesn't have a part of your dream to play a part in your story. So today, here's what I hope that this message is done, because it's 4 weeks, man. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. I'm not going to give you something right now that's going to change your destiny, because in order for you to get your destiny, you've got to go from your dreams to your ditches to your detention to your dreams. I'm ready for next week. I could preach the whole thing in 1 week. Like, I mean, I'm like telling you the truth, because I had coffee today, and it was a double shot. I think I talked about that in the beginning of the message. But you know what? That's the problem with our Christianity. Is we want the double shot. Because here's the thing, if you can't write your dream down, and that's your challenge this week, is to take your dream and get it written down. What if it's too big to, you know what, if it's not too big for you to feel like you can get there, it's probably because God didn't give you the dream. A God dream is going to be just beyond what you can grab a hold of. Sometimes it's going to be way beyond what you can grab a hold of. I mean, like so far you can't even see it from here. But this week, my challenge for you is to either let God revitalize your dream, rebirth your dream, or give you your dream. You know, the thing of it is I believe this. I believe that most of us have the dream. We've just allowed life to abort it. You know, one of the reasons I'm so adamantly against abortion is this, is that Scripture teaches me that every child was created with a purpose and a destiny and made in the image of God. Here's what I believe about you. I believe that you're the personification of that Scripture. That you're made in the image and the likeness of God with a hope and a future and a destiny. You made it through the womb. In America, that's becoming a bit of a survival story. I'm going to tell you something else about you that the enemy's tried your entire life to take you out of your destiny, take you out of this world, right? But so far, he hasn't succeeded. Will you be in agreement with that? Could it be that the reason he hasn't been able to take you out is because you have a destiny? It doesn't have anything to do with your hurt, your fears, your anxiety, your lack of self-worth. It doesn't have anything to do with those things. It's actually in spite of those things. And if for one moment I can get you to reclaim your dream, the Lord may just be able to lead you to your destiny. Because my greatest fear for your life is for you not to hit your destiny. Because I believe the fact that you're here screams from the very throne room of God that God has purpose for your life. And that if you'll make that your vision, the Lord will bring it to pass. And I promise you this, if you're going to see it come to pass, you're going to go through some ditches and you're going to go through some detention. Because anything great doesn't come easy. You are great. You have greatness inside of you. And your breakthrough isn't going to come easy. Will you stand to your feet? Father, my prayer is that every person across this place, God, that watches us online, God, that listens to us on podcast, Father, that this morning, God, you're going to birth a dream inside of them. God, that you're going to bring a dream back to life, Father, that you're going to do something in them that only you can do. Father, this morning, I just pray this. I pray that dreams, God, that visions, God, that understanding from the very throne room of heaven, God, are going to be spoken into the lives of men and women all across this place. But Father, I also understand that we can't have a dream, a God dream. We can't have a God vision if we don't have a relationship with you. With nobody looking around in this place, if you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, I'm here and I feel like God's got dreams for me. I feel like there's purpose and all that, but I understand that I can't have any of those things if I don't have a relationship with God. If you're here and you say, you know what, today's the day that I really need to rededicate my life. I need to give my life to God. It's just time for a change. It's time for those God moments. Will you just slip your hands up real quick? We're not going to judge that. We'll applaud that, as a matter of fact. Is there anybody here? Great. Then my belief is this, that by your confession that we have believers, we have men and women of God that are here. So I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over your life. Father, I just thank you for every person that's here. God, I believe that you're birthing something new in and through us. God, I'm going to thank you for everything that you do in the lives of your people. God, I thank you for every person that's here. God, they are a blessing from you. God, I value them, but God, I know how much more you value them. And Father, I just pray that you bring their dreams to pass. God, that you bring their destinies to pass. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to Thrive Church. We hope today's message touched your life. You can share your testimony with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.